Hello and welcome to another episode of Buffering the Podcast.
Yes.
It's Adam here with
Dan Whalen.
And
how's it going?
Our singular guest, Katie Best.
Hello.
We are down one this evening because Rob Lee could not join us. She's not feeling well tonight, so we wish her the best and
hope she'll make it on here another time.
Yeah, exactly. And we're coming to you from the Frank Oz Memorial
Studio.
Because
it's on Foursquare.
Yeah. But I like coming up with my silly building.
And
titles.
Plus, now what I'm going to do is every week I'm going to post photos of whoever's on the show, and it's going to be conveniently tagged with the studio name as well.
Ah, fancy schmancy.
Just to show you guys your handsome selves.
With the blanket up to my neck?
Yeah.
Great.
Ooh, cool. I got to fix my hair.
Very nice.
my hair's not pretty for the podcast. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
It even says on the back, taping mic checks for the show.
They can tell.
They can tell it's a Tuesday hair day.
So, anyway, I suppose we better move into the news that is next on the agenda, as per usual.
Yes.
On this lovely episode 6 episode of the
podcast. Oh, today is...
What is today?
October
17th.
I thought it was the 18th.
Fail.
Dibs on 18th, I'm going to call it. Yep,
it's 18th. The
18th. Seriously?
Yeah.
It's the 18th today.
Oh, it's Tuesday.
That's right. It is Tuesday when we're taping, and this will drop on Friday. And maybe next time I will conveniently put up the bonus tracks on the right days.
Hello from the past.
Sorry,
Monday was so long that it came into Tuesday.
Do you have flying cars yet? Yeah.
I hope not. Yeah. I don't want that in my lifetime. That scares me.
What about jetpacks? Actually, what I want that's futuristic technology now is a portal gun.
What?
Portal gun. So, have you heard of Portal or Portal 2? They're video games.
You're talking to the wrong girl.
They're video games where essentially you have a gun that shoots one portal that you go into, and then before you get into that one, you shoot another one where you come out of it. So you could, put one on the ground, hop into it, and the other portal that you're in,
I get it now.
Somewhere. I'm sorry. I was twisting away when I was trying to use hand gestures simultaneously.
Right.
I'm getting
so
it.
So basically...
Now.
Kids at home, you know what a portal gun is. And if you don't, well...
Look it up. You're on the internet already.
Or there was a short description.
Yeah.
That too. And usually they're orange and blue.
Yeah.
Oh, not like the black in the cartoons where it's like, look, there's a hole, and then the cartoon disappears into it.
No, not like that.
A little bit like that, actually. I mean, you do go into it, but... Yeah.
Usually it just looks like a hole in a wall where you can see through to the other side immediately and where it's... popping out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shoot two portals, go in one, come out the other.
Yes.
Got it.
But.
Portal gun.
So news.
News.
Oh, right.
We were totally trying to talk about something. And the thing I was going to bring up is we've been covering a lot of the Netflix contracts that have been going on where they're trying to make everyone feel a little bit better about still holding on to that instant subscription.
Yeah.
And the newest network that they added was the CW. Wahoo.
Yay.
Because the series that they are adding on there are Ringer, never heard of. Heart of Dixie, never heard of. Secret Circle, never heard of. Vampire Diaries, ew.
Oh, boy.
Gossip Girl, ew. 90210, ew. Supernatural, ew. Nikita, don't really know.
Sorry, babe.
Yeah.
You just ewed one of your favorite shows.
I don't know it. I don't have TV. I'm okay without it.
That's what the internet's for.
Yeah. Emily seems to be pretty well addicted to Vampire Diaries.
Mm. Well, that
seems that way.
Good for her, and she openly admits that she reads like teen novels.
Yeah.
Hey, they're a light read sometimes. I don't know. Stick up for the girl.
There are other books.
Good ones.
Good ones.
Right now I'm reading a 19th century novel, all right?
See, yeah, no, you're fine. You're good.
Yeah.
You're covered.
You're good.
But yeah, it's just, more TV shows that are coming on wherein it'd be really nice if they focused more on movies. I know they did DreamWorks So they're working into that, but we won't see any action on that till 2013, 2014-ish.
Which is a long time to wait for us instant gratification generationers.
For all we know, Netflix could fall and another could rise in its place, and then by then no one really cares.
Mm-hmm. Things happen fast on these internets of ours.
Yes.
See, you guys, I'm still in the Netflix where Netflix, like, you sign up and it sends you discs every once in a while. I'm way back there. I just don't subscribe.
Sorry. Well,
I must listen to your podcast so that I can catch up on Netflix news.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you know what's coming out new and what's going away when it does. I mean, well, we have February till Stars.
So here's a question. What's a show or a movie that would entice you to pick up that Netflix instant streaming subscription?
I would say, well, I was just thinking about this actually when we were chatting. The different, and I don't know if they already do and I just don't know about it, was having like the cable shows have certain shows that I might be interested in watching that aren't available online for, you know, I mostly stick to the networks. The networks I can, you know,
the
show is on. Right. They have the show on Tuesday. I can watch it online on Wednesday. And that's usually the way I roll.
Yeah.
So I've never had a use for Netflix, and I very rarely use Hulu also. But if, like, I don't know, if HBO had, because they've got some nice... Well, like miniseries type things, or what is it, Boardwalk, that's the Prohibition?
Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah.
See, with, like, that would be really fun to watch.
What's his name?
The Ugliest Man in the World.
Yeah, what's his name?
Who, what did he won something recently.
I
don't know. But everybody knows his
no,
face.
It's...
Why can't I think of that? This is like, it's on the tip of my tongue.
I know,
see,
right?
See their faces, they're in agony.
Kids at home, I wish you could help us.
Thank God for the internet.
Look up Boardwalk Empire. That's right, I'm using Siri.
Oh, he's using Siri. I can search the web for Boardwalk Empire.
Do it. Searching the web
for Boardwalk Empire. Yeah, mic that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, nope, I beat Siri, Steve Buscemi.
Thank you.
Ha 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 ha.
There's also my incompetence of, like, do I go with the Wikipedia page or the IMDb page?
So many choices.
Take
Steve
that,
Buscemi.
Siri. Mwahaha.
I can top that, though.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
I'm drunk.
I found 16 cabs. 13 of them are fairly close to you.
Wow.
So I'm not drunk, but I know that... Oh,
wow.
How about... I'm stuck in
the elevator. Oh, wait, I got a good one. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
42? That can't be right.
They good thought answer. Of everything.
Ask it to open the pod bay doors. I heard that's funny.
Open the pod bay doors.
Sigh.
Say it again.
Open the pod bay doors.
We intelligent agents will never live that down, apparently.
One more time.
Open the pod bay doors.
We intelligent agents will never live that down. Apparently.
Aww. Eventually it's supposed to say it. But.
Will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
And my favorite, what is my name?
You're my master. That's what you told me. Anyway.
I'm its master. It calls me my master.
Okay. Interesting.
Which we can segue into the other story since we don't care about CW anymore.
Right.
Is I picked up the new iPhone, and with that comes mirrored AirPlay, which it's really just, you know, whatever's on my screen, lo and behold, I can broadcast that on an Apple TV, which I was showing before, and I'm pulling up again.
It was really cool.
But this is kind of what I was talking about regarding having access to applications, but on a grand scale, or an ability to broadcast on a grand scale. So now, unfortunately, kids at home, I will. Oh, you know what? I'll do screenshots. You go, boom, screenshot of that, and then just show that I can now open, you know, Crackle or Pandora or iHeartRadio or even the Leonard Maltin movie guide. And check that out on the screen.
Hey, there he is.
So you guys can see some of the categories that
you can listen to.
Like,
wait, what if he kept this up and we saw the answers?
You know, I was thinking about that before, and I realized that I have to make sure that I turn off mirroring by then. So I kind of psyched myself into watching out for that. But we were watching an episode of Phineas and Ferb on my phone, streaming onto my TV, and the quality was
good.
Yeah, very
surprisingly
good
right? Yeah.
Is this a 720p or a 1080p?
This Apple TV only does 720.
Okay. Yeah, no, it looked really good.
I mean, it glitched every minute or something, that it would just lag for
every now and again.
Yeah.
It just kind of...
Maybe, well, yeah.
But that's just, you know,
you barely noticed
it eats up a lot of bandwidth, but even still, it's just like, oh, the animation snags behind the audio, but the audio is consistent. So it's just cool that conveniently now there's access to something like that. Whereas last time we discussed that Roku was available and has this giant array of stuff. But on top of that, if you already have a number of the products, then you can just kind of fashion them together into a nice hybrid.
One big awesome from the internet comes movies to your phone, to your Apple TV, to your TV.
Yes.
Which is just...
circular?
Awesome.
Well,
very awesome.
No, because that means the TV would have to initially generate the stuff to get it started.
Well, we were watching TV shows that would have aired on TV.
But it would have come from the box.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
In this day and age.
Right.
Or we could even go back
to
the studio.
No more rabbit ears.
No. Which, well, you can. It's a very specific kind of rabbit ears. The digital one, like that, right there.
Oh.
We're looking at rabbit ears. A pair of antenna.
Hmm.
Some oddly shaped black plastic part at the
bottom. Just to pick up additional digital signal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. It doesn't work very well, and I don't watch TV again. Anyway. So it's okay.
Right.
And then the other story that I was going to kind of cover, it's more of a teaser than anything else, is the music streaming company Rudio, RDIO, has launched a teaser website notifying people that they are going to build a Netflix rival named Vudio, V-D-I-O. And I know that, according to a couple websites, if you just typed in V-D-I-O, nothing would come up, and it is still true. They are blocking it from being a search thing right now. But I will try to find a link to one of the news stories that announced it and show everybody the like minimalist page that they have available for this potential rival to Netflix that's coming out.
Yes, we shall see.
Oh, yeah, it's just VDIO.com is... all it is. Everyone go check it out.
Sounds promising, depending on the content that they're able to secure.
It'll be interesting. It's always nice to see what a rival tries to do, where we've seen Crackle come up, not take them on, but try to build a different kind of setup. And it's functional, but if only had the content to support it, and then, you know, Prime is ugly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Little friendly competition is good for everyone, I think. And a little hostile competition.
Right.
Might help.
But speaking of content and design and what have you, the thing that we wanted to talk about tonight was You know, and I really enjoyed how I wrote this on Facebook to you when I came up with the idea. So I definitely have to call it right back to that to do it justice as I bullshit for a second and a half to try to get to that conversation. And then, the topic that I came up with was crowdsourcing the perfect media. What do you want out of a streaming media source in terms of user interface, anchored versus mobile, pricing caps, what have you?
Right.
So realistically, there are so many different services. There's Hulu, there's Netflix, there's Pandora, there's iHeartRadio, there's Urdio, there's Rhapsody, there's Crackle. All these different options. And none of them are really the same. They all have their nice little elements, you know, different designs and feels to them. So my question is, you know, out of that which you've encountered, that which you've experienced so far, what are the elements that these companies need to definitely use, and what do they need to avoid to make sure that they're using something that's comprehensive, user-friendly, you know, detailed, but concise, you know, the perfect user interface?
Right. Well, I don't want to be rude, so I suppose I better let Katie. Katie, do you have any points to start off with?
I don't know if I have any jumping off points. I was just racking my brain to figure out exactly what I could come up with. Pandora is really the only one that I use.
Is your go-to.
That's my go-to.
Yeah.
So I do listen to it quite a lot. I, you know, work 40 hours a week and probably listen to it almost all of that 40 hours, even if I'm not there. And then it asks, are you still listening? I had a couple of issues today with Pandora, and I'm trying to think of, like, okay, Katie, you know, stop thinking of all the negatives you can come up with. What are the, why do you go to Pandora instead of all these other places?
Because you know what you know.
Right. And, one thing that I was peeved about, I think last week, was I had started a new station, and I typed in Dispatch the General.
Okay.
Guess what the first song was?
The General?
No, Jack Johnson. What? Something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I was like, okay, but I started a station because I really wanted to hear the General.
Well, that's
from Dispatch.
That's always been the drawback of Pandora. You go in like, I am going to set up the station so I hear this song. But by picking that song, they do everything just like it, but not it. Because usually the one song that you want to hear, they don't have the right license for the right version.
Have you tried entering in that Jack Johnson song?
Maybe I should do that.
That is what you have to do, is you have to try to encounter it in a system, you have to sidestep into it.
I know, and I've figured that out. And sometimes, you know, it's worked very well for me to create a station based on, like, an artist. And one thing that they did do that was really great was, because I do this with my own mixes on my own computer, like, oh, I'm going to take, I really want to listen to such and such. I'm going to take all my albums of such and such and put them in an iTunes album, whatever. And the word I was looking for. I was like, no, iPhoto is album. Then I'm like, oh, I want to listen to this artist too. So I mix it in there because Shuffle mixes it.
Makes it easier, yeah.
So I wanted to get that kind of thing because I don't have my music library on my computer at work. So they have started a new thing on Pandora where you can add a second artist or a second song or what have you to redefine said station, which that's really come in handy. I really enjoyed that. It's given me a little bit more control over tuning or what I wanted to listen to on that station.
So it is getting smarter.
So it is getting smarter because we did talk about, I mean, Dan and I were discussing the episode before we started, and I had mentioned that I had this one station on today and I heard the same three songs three different times. And I'm like, come on, you're supposed to be smart. It's not the radio. The radio, you hear the same six songs over and over and over again. I was like, I want it to be smarter. Just because they're on different albums doesn't mean they get to play them again. So, yes, it is getting smarter, but I know it's like, you know, you type in Broadway musical, and because there's like six different albums of the same show, you hear the same song six times,
right?
But from different albums of the same show, and it's like, but yeah, that's old.
Have you looked into Last.fm at all?
I have not.
Well, that would be something that you could check out. This is actually something that I really like about Last.fm that other streaming music services could stand to benefit from, and that is, the ability for Last.fm to Scrabble. What's in Scrabbling is where it basically just records what you're listening to, and it keeps track of it all.
They collect your data.
Yeah, and Last.fm...
Well, Pandora does that too, apparently, right?
I didn't know that.
It takes into account what you like, what you don't like, and what comes on.
Okay.
And it creates this giant algorithm.
True, but it's not just within Last.fm. It's actually keeping track of what you're listening to in iTunes.
You can connect your
and
iTunes
on your iPod. So it will learn your music library, and then you can actually listen to a radio station streaming on the internet that is your library. If it's in Last.fm's database, it will play it.
So theoretically...
And that's really cool.
Yeah.
Accurate to what degree? To the point where it is that song specifically, or if you go into the live libraries of some of these artists, it gets kind of iffy. Have you experienced it in one way or another where you know you have it as one track, but it's a slightly different version, kind of like what Katie was talking about.
Sure. Every once in a while it does that, but most of the time it is album versions.
Hmm.
There will every once in a while be a live version that pops up, but again, it's the kind of thing where it has to be in Last.fm's existing database of songs before it will play it. So if it's some obscure live recording from who knows where, it's probably not going to show up on Last.fm.
Got it. So say I log in at my house and it can find my iTunes library there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I log into an account, say at work, completely disconnected from my iTunes library. I can stream that station because it knows my iTunes library?
Yeah, your computer doesn't even have to be on. It just has to... Basically, you're going to go home, you're going to download the Scrabbling software, and I made the quotes thing with my fingers, and then you will play, just go through iTunes and play basically all of your songs. I would recommend just setting it to play everything overnight or however long it'll take you to get through your whole library.
However many weeks we as music hoarders are.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not as long as you. Maybe not overnight, though.
Well, anyway,
couple days.
It would take me over a month now, but yeah, that's the case with most people our age. But anyway, so let it learn your library by playing all of your songs. And the way that Scrabbling works is, if you get halfway through the song, then it figures it out. It'll add it to the registry at the halfway point of the song. So it's like it fills up the little progress bar, which is half the total time of the song, and then it adds it. So theoretically, if you're really diligent, you could get through it in half the time. But
you have to sit there for that whole half the time.
That would be a pain. So, yeah, but once it knows your library, it knows your library. So you can listen to it anywhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this option.
Yeah. You should check it out.
I know. You guys...
So, yeah, tying it back to our discussion question, that is something that I really appreciate from music streaming services, something that Last.fm does very well, and also the recommendations that Last.fm gives, that's another thing that I feel like they do really well. I've found out about quite a few different artists that way. So, but translating that over to the movie side, I think it would be really cool to see some sort of social network implemented in Netflix. I mean, you wouldn't want to necessarily share everything that you're watching on Netflix.
Right. There are those nights where it's like, I'm just going to watch this really shitty comedy because this is what I'm in the mood for. But I'd like everyone to know that I also, the night before, watched Kenneth Branagh in Hamlet.
Yeah.
So let me class it up over here for a sec.
Yeah, yeah. So that would be pretty awesome. And, Yeah, or else there are other times when your roommate watches like 5 episodes of South Park and you don't even like South Park, and now Netflix is recommending South Park greatest episodes or movies in your recommended list, and it's not hardly showing anything else now.
So Netflix needs a thumbs down button, is what
you're saying. No, it has.
Well, it's got the not interested button.
But since they technically, in a way, share access to it from the same portal, one roommate's use of it has overweighed the others.
Got it.
Anyway, yeah. So it would be cool if Netflix and other video services did implement a way to share with each other which shows they're watching, so maybe you could find out about new and awesome movies and TV through that. And of course, with movies and TV, that's still something that comes up in real life conversation. So, I mean, obviously you're going to get your recommendations that way, like, oh, dude, have you watched The Walking Dead yet? No, is it good? Yes, it's good. You should watch it. Okay.
So almost like a good reads of movies and TV.
Yeah, but it would be more like a grouping type thing, like, so such and such number of people, like 10 people watched The Walking Dead in the last week or something
like that.
That'd
be a very focused group of people.
Yeah. But, I mean, it would just be something like that where, you know, you could connect it to Facebook or...
Well, they are just not legally in the United States yet based on license agreements.
Oh, okay.
They're working on it. It just hasn't landed here yet. And I think that there may have even been a lawsuit or two tied to it.
Wow.
Just for licensing issues of broadcasting or the potential to broadcast or provide access to these movies in a way that wasn't a part of the original contract.
Yeah.
So how would you feel about... I mean, I'm a member on Etsy. I sell on Etsy, and I can...
I love Etsy.
I can choose to share things from Etsy onto my Facebook page. Say, if I upload new items into my store, I can choose to share that with my Facebook profile.
Kind of like how this podcast pops up on Facebook,
right,
as it does.
Yeah.
So what if there was kind of a button, and I don't know if any of this exists, but with Netflix, that it's like, I watched a really great show, or I watched a really great episode, and you could share that episode, something more specific like that.
I was going to bring it up that there is a way to do that. It's just you actually have to actively seek it out by going through copying the web address for everybody just watched, going to Facebook, going to the status thing, paste it in there, and then it brings up the link below it.
So basically, you can share anything else.
You can share anything on there. It's just not a native app that ties the two together.
Right.
Well, and Etsy used to be that way, but now there is, like, when I log into my Etsy, there's a tab that says, "Do you want to share this?"
Right.
But the problem that we're going to run to, obviously, with Netflix in that instance, is that you may share that link on your wall, but all of your friends who don't have Netflix are going, it doesn't work. Can't watch it.
Well, then that turns into, then pay for it, you hippie.
True. But it'd be cool if...
maybe a 2-minute preview.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
That'd be kind of like entice you.
Yeah.
Pull in iTunes where, regardless of whatever it is, like for a song, you get a minute and a half of a preview. For video, I don't know if it's 30 seconds or a minute, but you still get a good chunk to at least absorb it a little bit.
Yeah.
It'd just be a tailored, maybe like for TV shows, it wouldn't be that episode. It would be the show's, you know, 30-second minute clip. So that it's not like giving away crucial information from that show, but it could at least tease to it.
And you only need one per show as opposed to every episode.
Exactly.
Sure. That'd be neat.
That would be neat.
That'd be nice. That'd be convenient because that way it could expose you to a lot of a lot more different shows that you're not aware of. But again, it just comes back to that. It'd probably be for premium content, so you would have to pay for it somewhere down the road.
Right.
I'd imagine.
And a big part of why I think this would be cool, or a way that this could work, is if Netflix kind of created their own social network within Netflix, so that you could exchange recommendations on their service exclusively. And then maybe in the future, when all the licensing or whatever, or law or whatever it is that's keeping Facebook and Netflix apart, maybe when that gets resolved, then it could just be as simple as linking the two profiles, and then you're set.
Did you ever see the iTunes social network?
No.
It's what you're describing, but it is exclusive to being inside of iTunes.
I do remember
that. So there's almost kind of an inconvenience to it if you're not at your computer, but you want to plug something,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work. And it's not really that interesting. It's kind of like that weird mini peak of Google Plus. It's like, okay. I'm kind of, I'm going to go somewhere else now.
See, it's funny, that got me thinking that social networking, you know, it became the thing. There was MySpace, there's LinkedIn, there's Facebook, obviously.
Friendster.
You know, there's these...
Flickr is technically one.
Right, Flickr. There's these different, like, mini networks where other websites have tried to join in to the crowd. And you know what? They've all died out. Facebook has become king. Like, seriously, I remember being in college a few years back and thinking about all the social networking and how it was fantastic, and being a graphic design student as I was, we had to create a website and blah, 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 blah. So we're like, hey, we'll create our own social networking on our website for this particular event, and we'll all have profiles and everybody can make their own profile and blah, 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 and we'll make it a little different than Facebook and do it more like graphic designy, like what's your favorite font?
Right.
And that was a really great idea, and it was about the same time that all those other things were doing it. Now, I was just sitting here thinking, I was like, you know what's funny? All of that has just linked to Facebook. Etsy, you can still network within... They have their own networking within Etsy, mm-hmm. that you have your circles and things like that. But they have also adopted Facebook. I go to like random things like Five Eyewitness News website, and my Facebook friends pop up as like, so-and-so has read this story or something, I don't know, ridiculous. And I'm like, it's everywhere. You go, I mean, like, all of these websites have now given up on trying to find their own social networking and just jumped on the Facebook train.
Well, the company is worth billions of dollars based on advertising, based on, you know, page views alone. So they're going where the money is.
Right. It just occurred to me, and I may sound dense, but it just occurred to me that everybody was trying to do their own, and then all of a sudden they all gave up. And
Facebook just built the infrastructure so quickly, and now that everybody is already connected on Facebook, it does seem a little bit trivial to try and make your own network. But I think with something like Netflix, where you do already have a huge base of people using Netflix in their homes, and because TVs and movie are such a social subject, like TVs and movie are something that people talk about all the time in their social groups. And I have a feeling that if Netflix decided to implement something like that, it could come together very easily.
Could be.
Speaking of Netflix, one thing that I really wish existed specifically on Netflix, but I could see this implemented to clean up Amazon Prime, at least their website appearance, is to have expandable and collapsible viewing of similar content.
Oh, like the recommendations, the genres.
Where, yeah, if you don't care about one of the recommendation categories they're giving you, shut it down, close it up. Because there's some where I will never, ever, 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 ever watch anything within them. So it'd be really great just to say, hey, Netflix, this whole group does not work for me. Get rid of it. Try something else. Give me, you know, what else do you have that you give people? Mm-hmm. So that would be nice. And on top of that, content for one TV series, where instead of going, okay, so here's everything from this one. Okay, where's the button to go to the next one? So yes, there, then you have to go back there, and you have to keep kind of following this path, whereas, you know, it's like, I'm going to watch something from Third Rock from the Sun. So it's just, you know, expandable sections of season one, season two, season three. So then you could even, if there's a callback from the third season to the first season, you can have just the first and the third open and look at them and go, oh, well, there's this. Oh, it goes back to this, so I understand now. And you can kind of jump and understand, you know, more of the show if you want to, as I bullshit my way through this. But, I mean, just going to the You're way that great. It's set up on the iPad, where it's really you open up a TV series and you just scroll all the way from the beginning episode to the most recent one. You can just get all the way to it in one window rather than all of the hopping around.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be nice. Just in terms of organization, that's something that I feel like Netflix is lacking in for sure, especially when I pull up Netflix on my laptop, my instant queue isn't readily available on that screen. It's all recommendations.
Right.
And most of the time I want to watch something from my instant queue, it's almost like Netflix is discouraging me from watching the shows that I handpicked that I wanted to watch, making it take, you know, another step to get to them.
Well, they're trying to make more money by making sure that you watch the new content that you might not know about, or the content that you're not aware of because it's not a part of your primary tastes.
True.
So it's an annoying thing that they do, but it's...
I mean, they know that you're going to go to your queue. That's what you're going on there for.
If
so they don't
popular,
have to make it readily available because that's where they know you're going.
That's
eventually
a good point, for sure.
So and they're just being sneaky marketing people.
Those jerks. Those
of jerks. Course, of course. But, you know, and I realize that, but from the convenience, from the consumer's perspective, I think it would be nice if they did just throw the instant queue up as one of the rows that is available. Even if they put it at the bottom of the... If you had to scroll all the way down, at least it's still on the main page. That would be nice.
It'd be nice if you could also favorite different categories that you know you want to see, so you could put the instant queue into that same kind of system and say that guaranteed, maybe you don't get access to the top one. The top one will be features that are provided by Netflix. Mm-hmm. But 2, 3, and 4 could be controllable to the point of, always make sure that this is always in my top handful. So it's never consistent. It's never, this one is always number 2. But this one is in the mix of...
Yeah. Okay, so like a customizable home screen is
right.
What you're saying.
To a degree. They obviously would get top control so that anything that where, you know, they're really trying to drive the fact that they have this really great new TV show, series, movie, what have you.
Yeah.
They can make you aware of it immediately as if to be an ad, you know, so they can still charge these companies a lot for placement, but at the same time, you still have quicker access to that which you seek.
Well, okay, do you guys use iGoogle at all? I think it's called iGoogle. No?
I've heard of it.
Frowny faces, both of you.
I don't remember what it is.
Okay, right. I mean, it's basically if you have a Gmail account or whatever, you and Google's your homepage, like that's your landing page, and it automatically will log you in. And you get to choose the squares that are on that page. I mean, obviously Google's got whatever they want on there too. not so many ads or whatever, but you get to choose, like, there's little boxes and you can move them around, I believe.
Oh, are you just talking about the Google Chrome homepage or startup page?
Don't know.
Is it like that? Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just know that it's my, like, I think it's iGoogle.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And it's like, I don't know, it's my landing page and I don't use Chrome, so.
See, I just do the classic google.com landing page.
Well, and it kind of overrode and did it itself. I didn't do it to it. It just
so
kind of did
it. So it's a weed, you're saying.
It was a weed when it first showed up. But, so it has like my...
It's grown on you.
It's grown on
me. Oh, Christ.
But it, you know, you can choose like, I have the weather up there and I have... You know, I chose what news source I wanted to show the headlight or the highlight news stories from.
Yeah.
I've got like a art of the day pop up and my Gmail, whatever. So just using that idea, if Netflix was able to just give you maybe like even like four, if they had all this advertising space, but you had four squares on that landing page that could be what you wanted them to be.
That
might
would,
be both
yeah.
from both worlds. Might be happy.
I like
I'm very
that
very eloquent
idea.
Today.
I like it. No, yeah. That was good. I like it.
Could
so,
work.
How long have we been going so far? Because I kind of forgot to hit the stopwatch at the beginning, I think.
With mic check, we're sitting at about 55 minutes or so. So I don't know how long we spent on mic check.
Mic check wasn't too long. Maybe 10?
Wow. We were talking about cars and other stuff.
We kind of meandered our way through.
Yeah. I think
we meandered our whole way through, I think.
I don't know. I just wanted to make... I'm really proud of my categories in the Leonard Maltin game, so I wanted to bring that up.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe we should have
one really good one.
Maybe we should summarize what our ideal...
It sounds like everyone is in favor of graphics over text, so Amazon Prime still sucks.
Yep.
I'm going to just keep knocking
I don't even
them.
Know what it is, so...
It's Amazon.com, but you can also get streaming video from it. So the organization
well,
of that, where it's just so many different steps and levels to these things, where there's very little visual organization. It's all text.
Well, that's because it's Amazon. Amazon so, does words.
Yeah. Amazon.com
like
doesn't
Barnes
suck,
and
but
Noble
Prime...
having... images just doesn't work. It's all words. Books.
Yeah, it's not like a big bookshelf. It's a store.
Yeah.
Right.
But visual helps, but we want to be more in control of the visual.
Yeah. Customizable. Mm-hmm.
And
because we are
we
the
want to
age
share.
Of we want to share. We want it right now and we want it to be exactly the way we want it. Basically to sum it up.
That's right.
Well, the whole conversation was we want it the way we want it, but it's maybe finding those elements in different programs instead.
Right. Giving them ideas.
Because Last FM could be a stepping stone for you.
It could.
A way for our we want a way for our own personal interests and our own media choices to be incorporated more into what we're seeing on these streaming media sites, perhaps.
Yes.
I think
to summarize.
Our summary is really a summary of our generation.
Yeah.
Which is really, I'm having fun with in my own brain going, haha, we just keep saying things that are like,
we're thinking big, man.
That generation, that's all they want. And that's what this is all about.
Instant gratification.
Instant gratification.
A lot of nostalgia, which I am proud to say that my, one thing I was going to throw, never mind, I'm going to save it for later because I realize that it covers stuff that we might not want people to know about. So instead, hey, let's play the Leonard Maltin game.
Woo!
A very interesting game today.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be a
face-off. One-on-one, which...
Dueling banjo?
So for this, I...
Dueling Maltins.
There we go.
I'm wondering if instead we should do a best of five instead of three based on how quick it'll go back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do a...
Best of five.
All right.
Okay, so three out of five wins is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes.
If we're playing...
First of 5 points, I guess, not best of five.
First of 5 points would still be... Let's see. there would be 9 points possible. Or no.
No, you're right. Nine points would be the maximum questions we'd go through for a round.
Yes. But with three people to three,
it's seven.
It's only seven.
So first person to four.
First person to four.
Is the
Bring
same.
It on.
Yeah, let's do first to
person
four.
To four instead of first person to three.
So you're going to put the mirroring up now, right?
The what?
The mirroring?
Oh, no. I took that down for good reason. Though I was dreaming of an ability to, you know, broadcast some of the clues so that I don't have to constantly read them. That actually be available, but that would require somebody who knows how to do applications and stuff.
Uh-huh. Well.
Or coordination of things that I don't feel like coordinating right now. But, Katie, I will give you guest advantage because... Okay, so here's what I came up with for rules. So we're doing first person to four.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the person who did not get the point gets to choose the category because they're...
At the disadvantage.
Cool. And it's perpetually... Yeah, it's just the person who didn't get the point gets to choose.
Gives them the opportunity. I accept. The duel is on.
All right, so Katie, your categories, first three categories are the 21st of October is Apple Day, not for the products, but actually for the fruit. Conveniently.
Okay.
So in ties with Apple Day, I'm doing Gwyneth Paltrow movies.
Ha 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 ha!
Yeah,
Apple Day.
Uh-huh. Her daughter.
Daughter. Yes.
Is named Apple.
Yes.
Kid. I don't know.
Her kid. Her kid. Daughter. Her son. Apple is kind of ambiguous like that. Although it's cuter as a girl name, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Gwyneth Paltrow movies.
Right.
I will give you zero names, which is when the entire review is read en masse, so you get to know basically what the movie is, and the minimum bid is zero names, and you go into negatives to try to name from the top down.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But I always pick fair ones for that, so it's always fun. And then... this category, Dan's Halloween movies. So movies that I would watch on Halloween.
Oh.
Choose wisely.
I'm going to go with apples.
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 Gwyneth Paltrow movies. Your three choices are 1991, 1995, or 2001.
95.
Leonard Maltin gives this movie 3 stars. Calls one of the characters dedicated. It's exceptionally well crafted, intelligently written. It's well acted. It's also extremely unsettling and almost oppressive at times. The film seems to wallow into some significant depths. And there are...
Oy.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 names.
I'm going to say I could do it in 15 names.
15 names.
14 names.
14 names.
13 names.
Nice, 13 names.
Name that movie.
Dang it. I mean, okay.
13 names. All right, do you want to hear the clues again, or are you good to go?
Okay, one more time, quick.
95.
Yep.
Gwyneth Paltrow's in it.
Yep.
3 stars.
Okay.
Calls one of the characters dedicated.
Okay.
It's exceptionally well-crafted.
Okay.
Intelligently written.
Okay.
Well-acted.
Okay.
Also extremely unsettling, almost oppressive at times.
Hmm.
It wallows into very significant depths.
Okay.
Your 13 names are Richard Portnow, Leland Orser, Michael Massey, Hawthorne James, Peter Crombie, Reginald E. Cathy, John Cassini, Mark Boone Jr., Julie Askarog, John C. McGinley, Arlie Ermey, Richard Roundtree, and Gwyneth Paltrow. So there are three people above her in this movie.
Thinking. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie that I thought it was from the beginning. Shakespeare in Love?
No, it is not Shakespeare in Love.
Yes.
Adam, do you know what it is?
I couldn't tell you.
What
That's
if I said Kevin Spacey?
Really? Is it really what I think it is?
I don't know. You have to use your words.
Give me another name.
Morgan Freeman.
What? Oh, that threw me. Morgan Freeman. Kevin Spacey. What's the last name?
Brad Pitt. Huh. Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, crap. I should know what this is.
95. It's extremely unsettling.
Extremely unsettling.
Almost oppressive at times, this unsettling feeling. Because you see...
It's not the one where he's a golfer.
No, you see lots of deadly sins. Namely, seven.
I was going to say seven deadly sins?
Well, okay, yeah.
It's seven.
I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Gwyneth Paltrow, it's the one curveball in her list.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
Thanks.
No, thank you.
You picked it, but you do get to pick again.
Ha! Because I was at the disadvantage.
That's right.
Yes. So this week, it is also Danny Boyle's birthday. So movies directed by Danny Boyle.
Oh, Danny Boyle.
There you go.
How did you make your voice sound like that?
Oh, he's good at that.
It's Animal.
Oh, I know it's Animal. But I could hear this weird echo like it was coming through the headphones or something.
Interesting.
Okay, so we've got...
Your categories
this time... I'm going to bring back zero names.
Okay.
Boondock Saints. So these are movies that the stars of the Boondock Saints have been in, other than the Boondock Saints. I only just bring
Not
that up because it's
choice.
Always a make fun of Emily category.
I don't even know who the actors are. That would be a poor choice for me.
I do.
Or...
I shouldn't have told you
Dan's Halloween movies.
All right, let's go Dan's Halloween movies.
Your choices are, let me sort this by year so I stop making weird
faces.
Go newest first. There we go. Much better. Your three choices are 1993, mm-hmm. 1996,
mm-hmm.
or 1999.
Hmm. 99.
Leonard Maltin gives this movie 1.5 stars.
It's classy.
It's a horror comedy. It's doomed by too many crude and genuinely tasteless jokes. And there are 7 names.
I could name it in 7 names.
6.
Name that movie.
Ooh. Oh.
You might be able to get this. Your names are Vivica A. Fox.
Uh-huh.
Jack Noseworthy. Fred Willard. Jessica Alba. Eldon Henson. And Seth Green.
Oh, that,
You sound like you know. 1.5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
1999.
Mm-hmm.
Horror comedy. It's doomed by too many crude and genuinely tasteless jokes.
Uh, I know it's not right, but it's the only thing coming to mind right now. Scary Movie?
No.
How about Not Another Scary Movie?
No.
That was worth a shot.
I don't think it's any of those movies because I don't think you
Seth
like
Green,
those
Jessica
movies.
Alba.
Yeah, that should have... what is it?
It's Idle Hands.
Oh. Well, then I genuinely didn't know it.
Nope, yeah, me either.
It's really bad, but it's really funny. It's kind of a 90s, early 2000 revisit to Army of Darkness, but focusing specifically on one guy's hand instead of his whole body going crazy.
Hmm. Okay.
It's good.
I have heard of it, but that doesn't really mean a lot.
1.5 stars, so not the best.
But Dan would watch it at Halloween.
Yes. Apparently.
So it's 1-1. And
Drat.
Adam, you get to pick one this time.
Awesome.
So in honor of the studio, Frank Oz Films. Mm-hmm. So not directed, just Frank Oz Films.
Mm-hmm.
Carrot Top billing. So somebody in the cast list has food in their name.
Right.
Or AFI's 100 most quoted movies. I've opened it up from 50 to 100.
Wow. Okay. The... Let's do the Carrot Top billing.
Carrot Top billing.
I'm hoping for a more potpourri kind of category.
This you will get. Your choices are 1993, 2002, or 2008.
Let's go more recent with 2008.
2008. Leonard Maltin gives this movie 3 stars. Calls it a cheerful adaptation. It has a thin story, but it strings together a parade of music. It's a feel-good film. And it seemingly has 4 or 5 finales, but they're all fun. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8 names.
Not getting any bells yet, but 8. So 8 names to start with.
8 names to start with. Katie, can you do 7 names?
I'll do 7.
Can you do 6?
I'll try 6.
6 names.
5.
4.
4. All right.
0.
Whoa.
Name that movie.
I'm like, we're just going to keep going all the way down. I can tell.
0 names?
The names would not help, so I'm going to go Across the Universe.
No. No. Close.
Ooh,
Across the Universe was a little more recent, I think. Than 2002.
Actually, it...
No, we went 2008.
I'm sorry. I was thinking the wrong year.
Yeah, Across the Universe was 2008.
Oh.
And it would have several finales.
That it would.
I'd say that it could, but not that it would.
Okay, sorry, it could.
This one does.
Oh.
Adam, do you have any guesses since it is turned into a heated battle? Or do you actually want to hear the 4 that you would last bid?
Yeah, give me the 4.
Christine Baranski, Amanda Siegfried, Dominic Cooper, and Julie Walters.
Amanda Siegfried or Seyfried or whatever.
That's the one. Seyfried.
Yeah. Okay. That should be ringing some bells, but it's not. How about a few more?
Stellan Skarsgård.
Keep going.
Colin Firth.
Oh.
Phone Booth.
No. That's Colin Farrell.
Oh, shoot.
AJ would be so mad at you if you were here
right
now.
I love Colin Firth. I'm just tired.
AJ also loves Colin Firth a lot.
Pierce Brosnan.
It's Mamma Mia.
It's Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
So, Adam, you get that point. So now it's 2-1.
Wow.
And, yeah.
I should have stuck with the four. No, I wouldn't have come up with Mamma Mia.
Amanda was 3. So if you had stuck with 3, you would have still had her.
I know, but even once you said her name, I didn't
connect.
I was thinking of more recent films of hers, not that one.
That's funny. Okay. Well.
All right. So, Katie, it's your turn to pick a category.
Because I lost again.
Yes. And so your 3 choices are Danny DeVito films.
Okay.
1492, so movies directed by Chris Columbus. Or
was that in honor of Columbus Day?
No, it's the director, Chris Columbus.
I know, but 14.
Never. I've had the category for a while because I enjoy it. And he has a large enough library for me to work with.
Mm.
Or Inigo Montoya's revenge films. So the primary plot of these movies is revenge.
Danny DeVito.
Your 3 choices are 1995, 1999. Or 2003.
Oi.
Danny DeVito.
03.
Leonard Maltin gives this movie 3.5 stars out of 4.
He likes it.
He does.
A bit.
This movie carries with it a sense of heightened reality, comes across as bizarre and baroque. Well, actually, no. The story is supposed to be bizarre and baroque, but instead we get a world of wonder and amazement. It maintains a consistent and disarming tone from start to finish, and with perfect pitch performances. Pitch perfect performances. And there are 10 names.
Nine names.
03, Danny DeVito.
3.5 stars.
3.5 stars. 8 names.
Name that movie.
8 names. So you get everybody but the top 2.
Right. Could I get the review one more time?
Yes. Danny DeVito film.
Right.
3.5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
2003.
Got it.
It has a heightened sense of reality. The story is supposed to have a bizarre and baroque feel, but instead we get a world of wonder and amazement. It maintains a consistent and disarming tone from start to finish with pitch-perfect performances. And your 8 names are Missy Pyle, Danny DeVito, Steve Buscemi, Robert Guillaumont, Alison Lohman, Helena Bonham Carter, Jessica Lange, and Billy Crudup.
Oh, man. What could it be?
And it even has good old Steve Buscemi in it.
I know. 2003. I was in high school. Not going to very many movies. Probably. Crap.
Any?
Yeah, I'm not really getting anything out of this. I know it's not right, but I'm thinking of the first vintage Danny DeVito film that I can think of that's closer than the other one that I can think of. And I know it's not right, but Hercules.
No, not Hercules. Do you have any guesses, Katie?
Big Fish.
It's Big Fish.
Oh, my
God. Yes!
Albert Finney and Ewan McGregor. The two missing names.
I forgot that Danny DeVito was even in that one.
I know. It was like this. That's why I made you name it. Was like I feel like he's in it, but I can't think of what part he is. And I
just remembered what part he is. He's the
Danny DeVito.
He's the circus, yeah, or carnival guy. Just remembered that, but yes.
Crap.
I actually knew one of these movies.
Yeah. So,
instead of actually guessing every time.
So we're all tied up again, aren't we?
2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Adam, it's your turn to pick a category.
Good.
So I will give you Dan's Halloween movies, Zero Names, or Danny Boyle films. There's a lot of Dans on this list.
Yeah.
There are.
No, I'm going to go with Zero Names.
Zero Names. All right.
See what I did there? Threw you off.
I did, yeah.
So,
I thought I was going to pick one of the Dan categories, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. The minimum bid that you can start with is zero, but you can start lower with negative names right off the bat if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So your choices are 1987. 1994 or 2001?
1994.
Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars. A lion cub raised to take his father's place someday as king of the jungle is sabotaged by his evil uncle and lives in exile until he realizes his rightful place in the circle of life.
Excuse me, this is not 94.
Yes, it is.
That sounds
She's
about right to
staring
me.
Staring Dan down. I could swear that this was 96.
I don't think so.
No. No, it wasn't.
We'll check in a second, but according to this, 94.
Okay.
With distant echoes of Bambi, this entertaining Disney cartoon feature highlighted by Oscar-winning Elton John, Tim Rice songs, and Oscar-winning music score by Hans Zimmer, has dazzling scenics, some show-stopping animation, and outstanding voice work. But drama so intense and comedy so hip, it's not really for young viewers. Followed by animated TV series, 2 direct-to-video sequels, and a Broadway musical. Re-released in IMAX in 2002 at 89 minutes. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 names. Adam, you open the bid.
Zero names.
Zero names. Ugh. You got to know at least one name to keep going.
I know. But they don't have faces.
And right now, Gina and Emily are really pissed. Now, just if you think about it, I'm just throwing that out there for you and everyone listening, but not you, Katie. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm like, I don't get it.
I can name people in the movie.
I just can't name the top build.
And I know which one they're thinking of, but I, yeah. Who is the
top build,
Katie?
I mean, who is top build? Who is...
-1.
-1. Can you do -2?
I don't think you can do it.
I have some confidence in him.
I don't.
We'll see.
Mm. Whisper. Oh, my gosh. Let's say
5, 4.
Can I ask a question
about
how people are billed in movies?
In what sense?
Is it like in order of appearance or screen time?
It's according to what Leonard Maltin puts, actually. It does differ sometimes from the actual billing, but it's what Leonard Maltin chooses for top bill.
Okay. Name that movie.
Okay, so with -1 names, what is the movie?
Lion King.
There you go. I saw you hesitate for a second.
Well, I was going to say the name first.
The
I was like, no.
Lion King.
Oh,
the Lion King.
Okay, so who do you think is top billed in that movie?
Total guess. Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
It is Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
What? No!
Yes!
But he's a kid!
Yes!
But he's like the main voice for a good chunk, good percentage of it.
I got the Disney question right!
It makes so much sense.
And I have to throw out and pull...
Can you do 2?
No, not at all. But I can tell you that Whoopi Goldberg's on there somewhere.
Matthew Broderick was next.
Oh, of course, for Timon.
No, for adult Simba.
Oh.
See, that's
it just like
right.
It came to
young
me like a
Simba, adult Simba.
It just came to like a strike of lightning Mufasa. That it was Jonathan Taylor Thomas that had played. No, but I listened to Disney music on Pandora for several hours today. So I brought it up earlier, and now listening to The Lion King all day has come full circle and got me
saved
that point.
You. Whoopi Goldberg was third from the bottom, by the way.
Childhood
me. I figured she wouldn't be very high.
Childhood me is punching current day me in the face currently.
Well, current, both current, past current. Me and present day me are laughing.
Of course you are.
Because now it's 3-2.
Oh, boy.
So
you know, I won last time.
1 point from the win.
Twice.
Okay. But according to IMDb, Lion King is also 1994, so...
Dang it! Why did I think it was 96?
I should get like half a point for that.
No,
yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Just from...
You didn't know what year it came out.
I told you guys
what year it was.
For years, I've been like, 1996 is The Lion King. Just in my head.
Mm-mm.
But no.
Your head That's is too late. Weird.
My head is too weird. Late.
All right, so Adam, you get to pick the category again. So I'll give you the same opportunity with zero names. Frank Oz films. Or Apple Day. Gwyneth Paltrow films.
Okay. Since it... zero names. Let's try it again. I want to try it again.
All right. Your options are 1984... 1994 or 2001?
2001.
Leonard Maltin gives this movie 3 stars. Burr. It's a clever, funny, computer animated tale of a life in Monstropolis, a city powered by the screams of children frightened by monsters who come out of their closets at night. Trouble begins when a little girl named Boo invades this world to the dismay of furry monster Sully and his talkative squire, Mike Wazowski. Goodman and Crystal give their wonderful vocal performances.
Nothing, go on.
No, that's part of the review. You get the whole review.
Oh, well, normally you edit it to make it harder.
Full review.
Oh. Yes. He's not being sneaky. He's not holding on us.
No, he's
Goodman
not.
And Crystal give wonderful vocal performances full of laughs for kids and grown-ups alike. Randy Newman's song, If I Didn't Have You, won an Oscar. Another winner from Pixar and Disney. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 names. Adam, you get first swing of the hammer here. Minimum of 0 names.
Yeah. Zero names.
Zero names.
Oh, come on. -2 names.
-2 names.
Name that movie.
Movie.
Monsters, Inc.
Yes.
No, the.
It's very true.
No, there isn't. What's wrong with you?
Do they have to be in order?
Yes.
Oh.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Crystal.
No.
Yes.
Goodman was first?
He had a bigger part in the movie.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I was banking on that.
But I was thinking that if it's going to cost more money for Billy Crystal.
Ah, yeah.
But it's not according to money.
I know.
So now it's 3-3, all tied up. Match point. Awesome.
Failed in the... Oh, I was on the home stretch.
I just
got too cocky.
Well, even with -1, you would have...
Failed.
Missed. Yeah. If you followed that same logic.
Would've. Don't choke.
All right, so your 3 categories, Katie, are...
Yes.
AFI's 100 most quoted movies.
Okay.
0 names.
Okay.
And Dan's Halloween movies.
This is for the win now.
This is for the win.
For me.
For either of you.
For both of us. But mostly me.
It's a race to the finish.
0 names because I'm going to hope it's another Disney movie.
No, unfortunately, you guys plucked them out of the sky. Could not happen any other way. So your choices are 1984, mm-hmm. 1994, or 1999. Leonard Maltin gives this movie 2.5 stars. 99 film.
Okay.
A computer hacker discovers the world he is living in is an illusion maintained by computers that have taken over the world, and he is thought to be the chosen one to save humanity. Cutting-edge visuals and production design compete with an overlong script written by the directors that's got a high MJQ, mumbo-jumbo quotient, and a tendency to keep changing its own complicated rules. Martial arts scenes staged by Yuen Yo-Ping are highlights. Oscar winner for film editing, sound effects editing, and visual effects. All right, I said I was going to read the full review, followed by The Matrix Reloaded and the DVD collection of animated shorts, The Animatrix. And there are 7 names. Katie, the minimum -0 names.
You didn't name... Oh, we're not supposed
we're
to
We're not
yet.
There yet.
Yeah, this isn't yeah. Boondock Saints.
Right.
So -1, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
She did say -1. -2.
-2.
Name that movie.
Okay. It's Matrix. The Matrix.
Matrix,
also
comma,
features the.
Also
features the word the. And the
and
names.
Top build is Keanu Reeves.
Correct.
And -2... Now, when I said -2, I thought I would have
just
figured out his name by now. And
he was bluffing, everyone.
I wasn't bluffing. I was banking on the fact that my brain was going to catch up with what my mouth was doing.
Is that similar to cashing checks? No. Writing checks your body can't cash?
No, it's kind of like our generation of where our mouth kind of gets ahead of itself.
I like the Top Gun quote better.
The what?
That was a Top Gun quote.
I feel that
you're writing checks. Your body can't cash.
Oh.
I'm going to have you fly in a cargo jet full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong. My brother would be very proud right now.
That you can just keep going.
It's all the same scene.
As we wait for Adam.
You kill time, and I kill myself trying to think of his name. God, it's got.
It's going to be hilarious if it's the only other name that I can think of.
It's got to be Agent Smith, probably. And
don't give anything
like
away.
Other build. Well, it doesn't matter now because it's all on me. If I don't get this, you win. If I get this, then I win. My brain just won't cooperate right now.
Talk.
He's got the receding hairline. He was also in V for Vendetta. He was also in Lord of the Rings. Damn it. I mean, 2 movies that I also adore. But I may not
if
even
could
be on the right
path here.
If you could
quickly sketch the likeness of his face, could he get the point?
Yeah, seriously.
At least sketch. You could pick him out of a lot. Well,
oh, my gosh.
Has to be a police quality sketch, though.
Oh, crap.
But you have to use crayon, too.
Oh,
broken
man.
Crayon. Yellow, broken crayon.
With the wrong hand.
He has a... Oh, God.
But it used yellow really crayon, so it also has like brown and green and all these other colors on it from runoff.
It's not the Crayolas. It's the like
the
Rose Art. The Rose Art ones.
I can't think of it.
Any name. Just pick a person who works in Hollywood. Or even doesn't. Who knows?
Say Dan's name. You never know.
I was second billed in the Matrix.
It's not.
I knew him then.
Okay.
Five. 4.
Brian Blessed.
It's not Brian. Katie, you said you knew another name.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, I wasn't even on the right track. Oh, well.
No, you weren't.
You were thinking of Hugo Weaving.
I was thinking of Hugo Weaving.
So I could have guessed negative two. Anyway. Or I would have gotten it
straight out.
I think I just won. And not only did I win, I told you to guess that movie, and I was able to guess that movie.
Yeah, well,
just to show you.
Both of you were able to guess the movie, but you were able to guess Two Names Deep.
Two Names Deep, yes.
Mm-hmm. Bummer.
Bummer.
I know. I just come onto your podcast and I show you up every time.
And he was on a hot streak, too. He won two games.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. This would be the third game in a row.
So this is just a slight hiccup in my overall rise to power.
And now Katie is much stronger of a player, too, so... Something to watch out for.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's all I got.
Well. Yes.
But we will wrap it up for now because we've probably gone long with our conversations and such.
It's true.
With our short
cast. We did
go
to the full game length.
We did. Indeed we did. So cool. Yeah, we are kind of...
Was that your goal? Were you trying to make the game the normal time?
No, we wanted to make it possible for that, but...
I was just giving him a hard time for taking forever to guess that last name.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, I was just trying to, just guess. Really trying to get it. But anyway.
Katie, yeah, do you have anything going on with work that you want to plug or anything that you need to plug of any sort that you think people should know about? Even in the neighborhood where...
Rocky Horror is still going playing. On? I believe it ends on Halloween, but I guess it's a very good show. I have not got to go myself yet.
Where's it playing?
It's playing in Uptown. Let me think.
Is it
Katie
at the Lagoon?
Be very mad at me.
No, it's
no, it's
live.
The yeah with Don Shelby.
What?
Don yeah. Shelby is I don't know. Okay. Not the announcer, but like
he's the narrator.
The narrator.
Oh, the narrator. Okay, that's cool.
Which makes it fantastic.
Yeah.
They have a real life motorcycle that they play with. I don't know, but. You know, type in Uptown.
The Lab Theater.
The Lab Theater, that's what it is. Thank
in
you.
In the Warehouse District.
In the Warehouse District.
Oh. And you're right, it does run to the 31st, so everyone has...
I had the date right,
about
and the city right.
2 weeks.
There you go. That does sound really awesome.
And I think there's Student Rush, possibly, Wednesday and Thursday nights.
Cool.
Nice.
Or the possibility of that.
Potentially.
Okay.
Adam,
well,
do you have anything to plug?
I think I better throw down a plug for the Halloween store up on Washington in downtown Minneapolis. It's right by the intersection of 35W and Washington, right next to Bobby and Steve's. It's a wonderful Halloween store. Lots of really awesome stuff to check out there. Costumes, props, decorations, makeup, wigs. You name it.
It's two floors.
Yeah, it's two floors of Halloween awesomeness. And Dave and I work there. I mean, I've got my new job, but I'm still there on the weekends. So.
And there's lots of blood in the parking lot.
Yeah, blood in the parking lot.
From the
zombie pub crawl. That's right.
Ah.
Yeah, and if you ask real nice, I bet Dave would still make you up like a zombie if you really wanted to.
He does excellent work.
He really
does.
Yep. Dan and I were both made up and for the zombie pub crawl, and so was Emily, that if you
and
remember.
And Gina. Well, Gina Emily. Gina just kind of got a sampling of blood from it because she didn't want to be actually zombified. She wouldn't be a hunter instead.
Right.
But still, the...
Which is
well,
less
if you
fun,
dig
in
into
opinion.
The archives, yep. I was a Dave's work from last Halloween. I was the flight attendant after the plane crash last year.
That was
at Dan's
awesome.
Halloween.
Yeah,
I remember
soiree.
That. Yeah, I think that's all I've got to plug currently. Aside from, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
Only thing I have is this Sunday, the Vikings play the Packers at home at the Metrodome. They're going to lose.
So avoid downtown.
That is one. Avoid downtown if you're not going to the game. If you're going to the game, my company or the company I work for, Frontier, will have a booth on the Party Plaza. You can go learn about Frontier Communications and what they do.
Yay.
Ta-da.
Yay. I probably won't be there because...
You're going to avoid downtown on Sunday.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
No need otherwise. So, Adam, your Twitter is?
Adam Erdman. Just how
it's spelled.
It sounds.
It's spelled,
it's
with also the two N's at the end that most people forget. Yeah, except for my close friends.
Mine is Dan L. Whalen.
Remember.
The Buffering Podcast. Twitter is Buffer Podcast. You can find us on bufferingpodcast.com. And we will see you next time.
Yes, we will. Thanks for tuning in.
We probably went long, so
sorry.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.